Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The White House expects up to 10% of federal employees to quit in a buyout program meant to end work-from-home practices. CBS's Matt Piper.
Trump is offering buyouts to all federal employees who opt to leave their jobs by next week to get 8 months of pay. They have to make a choice by next Thursday.
A federal judge pauses until Monday, a Trump administration freeze of all federal grants and loans, to review spending. Democratic Senator Patty Murray, vice chair of the Senate Appropriations Committee, denounces the freeze.
This illegal move is a massive overreach by the Trump administration. The American people did not vote for this kind of senseless chaos.
Outside of the Oklahoma Department of Education. Protesters voice opposition to potential federal immigration raids in public schools. ICE says it has arrested more than 4,500 migrants since last Thursday. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
The Bucks defeat the Jazz. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Another win for Milwaukee, 125-110 over the Utah Jazz. Head coach Doc Rivers asked why would the refs call a flagrant two foul on the Bucks' Andre Jackson with less than a minute left to play.
Late in the game, my opinion, the refs are probably trying to keep the game clean. I think Sexton and they were getting into it, and honestly, I think they believe get one of them off the floor, so nothing happened. So I get it. I didn't think it was a flagrant two, but it, you know, I think that's the reason.
The Bucks are in Portland tonight against the Trail Blazers. College basketball: the Badgers travel to Maryland to play the Terrapins tomorrow night. Wisconsin now ranked 17th in the nation. NFL: the Green Bay Packers have signed Rich Bisaccia to a contract extension, adding on an additional 2 years. Bisaccia is assistant head coach and special teams coordinator, and Luke Getsy is returned to the coaching staff as an offensive assistant. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As of 9 a.m. this morning, our EV trucking company is officially in operation.
Andrew, zero-emission trucks are driving the transportation category forward.
We'll make driving safer, easier, and less stressful.
Now our technology needs to keep up with demand.
He needs to put pedal to the metal on hiring more software engineers.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, it's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. Interesting conversations with some folks on yesterday's program. It seems like some people are thrilled with the direction that we're going as a country. Had some people tell me they're sleeping better at night because those immigrants are going. Had some people tell me that they're okay with half a trillionaire as a basically a dictator, an unelected dictator. Weird conversations that you would think you would have with Americans. And one person told me that, you know, they sleep better knowing that Donald Trump, strong man, is in the White House. And the justification I then told him I think would have been better in the original German, because it's the same kind of rhetoric. It's the same kind of, you know, the trains are going to run on time. We're going to be safe and secure. We're going to be able to buy stuff. It really is a very selfish, self-centered kind of me, until it's not. And this is the weird thing. I said, look, you know, the fact of the matter is what Trump is talking about, what he's doing, obviously going to raise the cost of all the things that you claim to want. We don't have the dollar eggs. And going to torment and torture people and break our reputation around the world. Had a conversation with someone who works for the Postal Service, who wants privatization. It's a weird world we're in, folks. And the anger, and this is where I keep coming back to, the anger is real, the frustration is real, and I've said this a million times. You know, if someone's drowning and you throw them an anchor, they're going to reach for it. And I think that's where we are as a country. A lot of people are drowning. They feel like they're falling behind. They feel like life is tough. It's getting harder and they're falling behind. And what Donald Trump is that anchor. That's only going to make things worse. But for a moment, when you grab a hold of it going, oh, this might go up. And the reality is it's not. We hear talk of Schedule F. We're going to go and we're going to fire 50,000 federal workers. Elon Musk has positioned himself in an almost indispensable kind of place because of the DOGE executive order. He's putting in computer systems that I'm being told are sending out emails that don't look like anything from the Office of Personnel Management. Because eventually what they're going to do is they're going to slash and burn our federal government. And that may be okay for some of you. That may be what some claim to want until you need something like Social Security or Medicare or any of the programs or any of the oversight or any of the regulatory enforcement or any of the things that our government does. When you need that, you'll get press one for an automated AI service. Because that's where Elon Musk wants this nation to go. It's amazing to me that we as a country who hate immigrants evidently would have an immigrant in an unelected role have as much power and be okay with it. I had someone tell me that, you know, Elon Musk's a job creator, smart guy, smartest guy in the country, should be running things. So already there are people who are preparing themselves for what is coming, and that is a post-Donald Trump world where we don't vote for people anymore. Constitution doesn't matter. We just want cheap eggs, man. And we want to get the others. And as long as we feel a certain way, we're going to be okay. My postal worker friend wanting to privatize the postal service, not understanding that it's there for the good and welfare of the country, that it meets the needs of we the people, may not be as fast as we want, but for what, 55 cents, I can send a letter across this country? Private industry won't do that. And when we profitize and privatize things, show me something that it's worked out. Our roads, our bridges, our healthcare system, our prisons. It's quite remarkable that we still keep falling for the same old ruse. That the wealthy are smarter. The wealthy do what's in the interest of the country. And that when we privatize things, it's going to be better. This time it's going to be better. And I wonder if that even applies anymore. I wonder if, and this is where, you know, a lot of the emails I got today from folks was about frustration. If right now we just need this national freakout, where we're going for the others, we're getting our grievance out of our system. Now, my hope is that Democrats, that independents, that critical thinking citizens say this isn't long-term sustainable, that we really should have a government that is of, for, and by we the people, and that it should be responsive to working people. It should be responsive to citizens, all citizens, not just the ones who can afford whatever it is they need, not those who can afford to buy their politicians, but all of us, you, me, all of us. And that only happens when we're engaged. And there's a part of me right now that says we're not engaged yet. The pain hasn't hit home enough. And what we've been fed as the red meat, because understand, Donald Trump is a master at deception. He's a master of misinformation. He would have been a masterful used car salesman. Because he's selling you a dream. He's selling you a fantasy. And we're willing to give up our democracy for what is a fantasy utopia. What's going to happen is they're going to fire thousands of federal workers all along our government. And we're going to end up paying the price. They're going to go after every one of the grievances that they have. They're going to seek retribution at every turn. And it's not going to make your life or my life actually better. We may feel, hey, there's a guy who's out there. He's fighting for us. But at the end of the day, your life's not getting any better. Want to hear your thoughts? Keep them coming. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. You agree? You think we're on the right path? Are you one of those folks who sleeps better knowing that there's a strong man? There's a tough guy in the White House? rick@thericksmithshow.com. Right back.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So as I said yesterday on the program, has week one been everything you wanted? Did you get what you wanted? And are we going to get what we deserve? And you see what's going on. You see the groundwork that they're laying. It's got me worried. And especially on the Social Security and Medicare front. These are people who have told us they want to destroy those. They want to privatize those. They want to profitize those. Are they doing it? Well, here to share some thoughts on just that, I've asked my good friend Alex Lawson to come share some thoughts. He's the executive director of Social Security Works. You can check out their website, socialsecurityworks.org. Alex, thanks for taking time for us.
Always a pleasure to be here.
So week one, critique. What's Granny got to worry about?
Oh, we all have to worry about a lot. I think you and your listeners should recognize this. This is literally Project 2025. It's just going down the list. So, you know, I and others have been like, people should read this. They just lay out exactly what they're going to do. You know, they had an army of lawyers prepare this roadmap for them to seize as much power using just the executive because they knew they were either planning for a divided Congress or they just knew they needed to do this blitzkrieg shock and awe to just demoralize and sow chaos as they push through. So they try to push on as many fronts as possible all at once and hope that people just sort of crumble in the face of that. And that is what they're trying to do. So, you know, what these executive orders do is you just have to read a history of Abraham Lincoln to actually fully understand what the implicit powers in the office of the president are, because they are actually pretty much infinite. What the president can claim to be able to do. And then, you know, the laws, courts, all sorts of the system sort of comes. But that might happen a year or 2 years down the road. And by that time, whatever they were working on is already done. That they say that in Project 2025. They say we're going to do things that are illegal because we think when the courts rule on it, they'll just find in our favor. So they're just rolling out all of this stuff. I think the easiest one to see that was, you know, revoking birthright citizenship. Like the president can just come in and be like, I'm changing the Constitution just by fiat. He can try, and then the courts have to say yay or nay. And so far there's been, you know, an injunction filed against that one. So there's so much that what you have to do, Rick, is focus in on your area of expertise. Take bite-sized chunk and work in solidarity with others who are focused on different aspects. So, you know, at Social Security Works, we're really zoomed in on the threats to Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, SNAP, other programs that seniors, people with disabilities rely on. And, you know, the big one that he released right out the gate was to just remove this Biden era executive order that said, you know, try to find as many ways to lower drug prices for people on Medicare as possible. Out the window under Trump. And so, you know, one of the first acts that he took, besides all of these other blitzkrieg attacks on the system, is to just hand over a bag of cash to pharma and be like, charge whatever you want. And that's, you know, coming out of the gate, showing exactly what we should expect from this administration. We see that there's a lot of, you know, discussion already about how the reconciliation bill is going to be paid for. And just a reminder what that is the biggest thing is they want to give these giant tax handouts to billionaires, sure. Right? The billionaires who were lined up behind Donald Trump when he became president. I mean, they couldn't have made it more obvious, right? You got the richest guy in the world here, the former richest guy in the world there, some other billionaire there, Mark Zuckerberg over there. They were the front row. That's who's in charge. And the process that they have to use is called budget reconciliation. And so they actually have to find, and I don't want to go too DCEs here, but is pay force.
Right.
And all that means is if they're giving all this money away, they got to take it from somewhere. And where they're going to take it from is our pockets. So they're coming after Medicaid, just total destruction of the program. And Medicaid, largest provider of long-term care in this country, primarily serves seniors, children, people with disabilities. You know, on Medicare, you have what are called dual eligibles. So people who are on qualify for Medicare and Medicaid, millions of people. And this is just total destruction of Medicaid. It's gone. Average cost of long-term care, almost $100,000 a year. I mean, who's going to pay for that? Obviously, people can't afford that.
Right.
So also hundreds of billions of dollars out of Medicare, getting rid of SNAP. Their idea is somehow, you know, they're going to take away people's
quite frankly, what it is, it's taking you to a pay or die system. If you can't afford it, sorry, better luck next time. If you can't put food on the table, hey, tough luck. And I look at the budget that was circulating from House Budget Chair Jody Arrington, I guess his name is.
That guy hates me. He had me arrested one time.
So you know him. Yeah. $5.7 trillion list of potential cuts. And you look at the thing that was leaked and the names that they gave stuff, you know, strengthening Medicare for seniors. And you go through $479 billion in cuts. But we're going to strengthen Medicare by doing these things. It's going to take money out of the system, making Medicaid work for the most vulnerable. They're gutting, what, $2.3 trillion, according to this document. Reimagining the Affordable Care Act, they're gutting $151 billion. So all of the things that you're saying, they're writing down on paper.
Yes. Jody Arrington had me arrested in his committee because I had the audacity when he was moving a bill to create a commission to cut Social Security, I had the audacity to deliver a petition that said, nobody wants cuts to Social Security. Nobody wants cuts to Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. I mean, that stuff is just right there. No one voted for this. So like, there's two things going on, right? Like what they're saying, what they got elected, and I'm going to be testifying at the Aging Committee, Senate Aging Committee on Wednesday, because they're saying, oh, well, we got to get you know, prices down and tackle inflation. And I'm like, how are, so you're saying that you're going to bring people's costs down by stealing their healthcare,
yes,
right? Like you're going to bring people's costs down by stealing their food benefits, SNAP, right? Yeah. Like Medicaid is just people's healthcare. You can't live on Medicaid alone, right? It doesn't give you any money. It's healthcare for people. So like the idea that they could take this away and it would somehow help with costs is absolute. It's not insanity. It's just it's cruelty and cowardice because they don't have the guts to say what they're actually doing, which is they're taking all this money to give to their billionaire friends who bought them the election. Yep. Right. But they also are have misread just how badly people hate cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. And that's why we just have to keep hammering them. Like, this doesn't work. You know, like no one voted for you to steal their long-term care from their parents or their loved ones or themselves. Like, no one voted for that. But that's what you offer first. No one voted for higher drug prices, but that's what you offer first. So that contradiction, I do think, is, you know, it's this blitzkrieg type thing. So it seems like they are invincible. You know, all of this stuff is inevitable. They have a 0-person majority right now in the House. Trump took 3 of their people into his administration. They have a 3-person majority. They got a 0-person majority, Rick.
Yep.
Like no mandate for this stuff. And they have to get past, you know, there's a big difference between saying I'm going to do this. And there's enormous power in the office of the president. So don't get me wrong that I'm minimizing that, right? Like he could literally declare war as commander in chief right now and order a first strike on a nation, pick a war with a NATO ally who's also nuclear armed with NATO, right? Like and end the world. That's Donald Trump. That's what this dude has in his power. At the same time, he has to actually work. There has to be a system in place to do some of his stuff, like stealing Medicaid, right? Like stealing people's Medicare benefits. And that system relies on Congress. So like you have to be able to see the enormity of the threat, but operate within the system that we have to fight back, to oppose it. When he's going to try to fire 50,000 workers, and I know you want to talk about the latest pretty significant Elon Musk story there. You know, these are 50,000 workers. They've got unions. They've got contracts. Like there's going to be opposition to what he is laying out. And so first week was a doozy, but I'd read Project 2025. Yep. So I knew what was coming.
No, and we talked about it on the show for a year. There's nobody. I said yesterday on the program, you're getting what you wanted because we told you this was coming. We told you all of this was on the table. You believed the guy who lied to you more than 30,000 times that, no, that's not my plan. And yet, box by box, he's checking it off. And it's the power that they're accumulating. Look, you know, someone called me and said one last week, you know, he's talking about adjourning Congress. Can he do that? Yeah, I think he can. And when he does, he can do basically whatever he wants, just not under the rule of law. And they don't care about the law. And this is where I see this story with Elon Musk. You know, walk me through this because maybe I'm just reading too much into giving Elon Musk the keys to our government to infiltrate and gather information. Walk me through what you see going on at OPM.
Now it's scary. And that's why I, you know, went through my thing of like trying to be like, look, there's ways we are going to fight back. They can't accomplish just all of their fever dream evilness. But at the same time, they are definitely, you know, well-resourced and evil. The richest man in the world was put in charge of finding ways to cut our Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and to gut the civil service. And, you know, that step one in Project 2025, as your listeners know, you know, go in there, just fire 50,000 career civil servants, the people who keep the government functioning, and replace them with people who are just loyal to Donald Trump. And, you know, you saw that on Friday when Donald Trump tried to fire all of the inspector generals who are an independent check on executive power. So like if you're trying to do a hostile takeover of the government from the inside, the first thing you want to do is get rid of the referees.
That's it.
And he did that on Friday. Now, again, talking about like the fight back, there's quite a few IGs who are saying, well, we're not leaving because you can't do that without giving 30 days notice through Congress. They're going to use the levers that they have to fight back. But what Elon Musk was granted the authority, this DOGE, which now he's pushed Vivek out the door, so he's singularly in charge of it. And it says that he has access to every system, every non-classified computer system in the federal government. And, you know, we were reading that, seeing, you know, trying to picture how this is going to unfold. And now today we're getting indications from across the federal bureaucracy and workforce that what he's done is he's gone into OPM. And this has not been widely reported, and we need more information on this desperately. But he's gone into OPM, and he has installed his own structure in OPM. OPM is like the HR department of the federal government, right? So, like, they email all the employees about, you know, your time card, your health care, your paid time off, return to work policies, return to the office policies. I mean, all of that is handled through, you know, the federal government's HR department. It appears that what Elon Musk has done is inserted himself in there and done a sort of hostile takeover of that, of the HR department first. And that gives him access to all of the data in the federal government. And the executive order seems to give him that authority. So all the non-classified data, and it's unclear, is that, you know, every Social Security file there? And this is Elon Musk. We know this guy's conflicts of interest. We know that what he's interested in is just stealing our money and putting it in his pocket, whether it's by the giant tax handout or these government contracts to his companies, right? Like SpaceX and Starlink, going after his rivals to Tesla. All of that is what, that's the driving motivation of Elon Musk. It's just to enrich himself. So all of these federal employees today were talking about getting these brand new emails from this new OPM system, which has been reported to be set up by Elon Musk. And it's this is that step, Rick, where they're going to go across. They're going to try to find people who they don't like for whatever reason. DEI is a big sort of it gives them the ability to target people that they just think might not be loyal.
You're not loyal enough. Yeah.
And then replace them with people. And if you haven't seen this, I think all your listeners should Google Project 2025 training videos, and you can watch the leaked videos of the training sessions of the loyalists who are set to replace these career civil servants throughout the government. And, you know, it's just, it is a very scary threat, because you see what they're trying to march towards is absolute authority in the office of the president with absolutely no checks, no checks and balances, no guardrails on this man whom we know is driven by like revenge fantasies, personal greed and ambition. I mean, look at this guy. I think the biggest thing to him becoming president of the United States, of winning another term, was launching a meme coin on it, right, days before his presidency, so he could personally profit, you know, millions of dollars, a coin that became, that increased values billions of dollars, just personally profiting off of the office of the president. Like, this guy is supposed to have some sort of bigger picture in mind, right? I just, it's a, removing the checks and balances from that guy's vision is a really dangerous road.
Oh, we're on a dangerous path. Look, you've got Trump, who you're talking about there, and Doge Boy. This unholy marriage is nothing but bad for working people in this country. And look, we were talking about all of that Project 2025 stuff for the last over a year. We explained Schedule F. We explained, making loyalty and patronage great again. And yet people still, a portion of our population still voted for him. And the hope is that the rest of us wake up and do as you said, find that peace that you stand and you fight for and join with others. We got a lot of work to do. But, Alex, as always, I appreciate the input. Good luck with your testimony on Wednesday, and I look forward to having you back again as this continues.
Thanks a lot, Rick.
Alex Lawson, Executive Director of Social Security Works. Check out their website, socialsecurityworks.org. Going to take a quick break. Right back. Stick around.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A few flurries around this evening, mostly cloudy overnight, to low around 20 to the low 20s and breezy. Sunshine for tomorrow, a high around 30 to the low 30s. But warming into the upper 40s on Thursday with sun. Currently 40 degrees.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
I got to tell you, this Pete Hegseth. I'm watching the military because, look, an institution that is all about honor and all about dignity and all about God and country and an institution like that being led by someone with the moral character that we've seen of Pete Hegseth, I don't know. That's why I've asked my good friend Rich Ojeda to come share some thoughts. Rich is a career military guy. Also, every weeknight at 8:30 nightly, you'll see him on Ojeda Live on Facebook and YouTube. He's also the chief cook and bottle washer over at the Turn Left Pack. You can check out their work at turnleftpack.org. Rich, thanks for taking time for us.
Always a pleasure being on your show, Rick.
So walk me through some of this. I mean, what are your feelings about this guy, given the fact that a lot of the things that he's accused of get you thrown out of the military?
Well, I want to start by saying that I am so disappointed that John Fetterman would be the one vote for him. And that's the reason why it was tied. And then J.D. Vance broke it. We could have avoided this had he basically voted against Pete Hegseth. Pete Hegseth should not be in this position. First and foremost, I got it. He was a major in the National Guard. I mean, look, the National Guard is a phenomenal, organization. And if it wasn't for them, we would have never got to go home. But let me tell you something. The training level that they have is nowhere near what is needed, what should be required to serve in a position like that. That's normally somebody who has 35 to 40 years worth of military experience that has earned the title of admiral or general. And Pete Hegseth has done none of the same. And once again, we have value system, loyalty, duty, respect, self-service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. And Pete Hegseth already gets a no on a few of those. So I think this is absolutely horrible. Once again, this is what Donald Trump wanted. Donald Trump wants somebody to go in there that will do what Donald Trump says. So he wants somebody that'll go in there and say, okay, we're going to court-martial people. We're going to, that's what they're going to do. And let me tell you something. It's not going to benefit. I guarantee you the first thing Donald Trump's going to ask him is he's going to want a parade in Washington, D.C., just like, his good old buddy dictators, Xi Jinping, Kim Jong-un, and Vladimir Putin have. And that's the kind of stuff that Pete Hegseth will say, oh, of course, right away. We'll get right on it.
Yeah, I got to tell you, you know, I'm a little concerned by someone like this who will bow to Donald Trump. Have we had people in this position before that you got the same kind of sense of absolute loyalty in the past? Or am I just, you know, because I had someone tell me, well, you're just suffering from Trump derangement syndrome. You just don't like him because he's Trump's guy. I go, no, what I've read about him, nobody should be thrilled with. And the fact that, as you pointed out, he would do whatever dear leader wants, that's not what we want from our civilian military, is it?
Yeah, and a person who has been removed from, like, veterans organizations because of mismanagement of funds, now he is over top of 3 million Department of Defense employees, and they have a budget that is astronomical. And here is a guy who, you know, how long is he going to take before he shows up drunk to work? You know, and, you know, how long is it going to take for him to start mismanaging some of these funds? There's a reason why we have people like General Milley and retired General Floyd Austin in positions like the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Secretary of Defense, because they have the education, they have the know-how, they know exactly what's going on around the world. And they are absolutely valuable. Now, Donald Trump puts somebody in a position where he's not going to be able to swim in that deep water. So I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, in 6 months, he's probably going to be a raging alcoholic. Or in 6 months, we're going to find out that they have purged all of the solid leaders from our military and replaced them with sycophants that don't know how to do the job. And in the end, it will destroy our military.
No, and this is what I was going to ask you about, because, you know, the reality is this is a moment where I think, you know, generals and the brass are going to have to figure out who their loyalty is to. You take a pledge to defend the Constitution, not dear leader. I fear, as you've just said, that you get rid of a lot of the Millies and the folks like that, and you start putting in people like Flynn and those folks. I think we should all worry about that, whether we're, you know, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, whether we're no party. We should fear that kind of loyalty to a party.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not supposed to be this way. You know, Donald Trump is the president. He's not a god. And these people worship the ground he walks on. And they absolutely, you know, they will continue to push the garbage that he spews. Donald Trump told over 30,000 verified lies in his first 4 years. You know, it bothers me that we still have a significant amount of people in this country that now all of a sudden thinks, yeah, but now he's going to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, he's only been in, we're on day six. We're on day six, and it's already a train wreck in so many ways. And, you know, to me, this is our military. Yeah. This is absolutely important. Nobody can touch the United States military. Nobody has the capability to handle the United States military. But make no mistake about it, when we start chipping away at the good leaders that, you know, take a stance, and we replace them with people that aren't capable, once again, remember that when you are in the military, when you are a major, before you are looked at for lieutenant colonel, you've got to go through the Command General Staff College. It's a year-long course, and it is absolutely a brutal course. It ain't physical, it's mental, and it's a tough course. And once you get that and you become a lieutenant colonel, then before you go to the War College and get your full-bird colonel, you got to go to the War College, which is another year of school. And every step in the military, there is a block of instruction that you must go through. And Pete Hegseth has been through probably none of this. I don't even know if the National Guard, you know, if they even, you know, I guess they do go to the officer basic course and the officer advanced course. But that's about as good as he's got. So he knows how to basically maneuver a platoon, maybe. But, I mean, now he's in charge of our government, our military. And it's a scary place to be.
Let me ask you this, because, you know, we've talked a number of times over the years, and you are a a staunch supporter of the power of our military. You've talked, you know, often about, you know, the most elite fighting force on the planet in history, you know, all of that. Yet every time we hear people like Hegseth and Trump and others talk, our military is in crisis. We're not lethal anymore. We're going to bring, you know, what was the word? We're going to bring lethality back to the Pentagon. There's a crisis in the ranks. There's all of this diminishing language. Is that not, you know, bad for morale? Is that not?
It is, but that's what they're trying to do. That's how they're trying to get away with the things that they want to do. It's no different than them floating, you know, news articles that said, oh, veterans are getting fat off of their benefits. You know, that's what they're trying. And they do that because they want to basically condition the people to think it's okay when they come after our benefits. That's what they're doing. You know, let me tell you something. I earn my retirement because I spent 20 plus years in service to this country. I earned my disability because over those 20 plus years, you sent me to horrible places and you broke us. That's what happened. That's why we get our disability. They're trying to go after our disability. The DOGE is saying, well, we need to cut corners, so let's go after the veterans. Be careful. Be careful. Because make no mistake about it, there's one group in this country that absolutely will not take your garbage. And I'm telling you right now, they don't care about us.
No, they don't. And hello, I've been saying that forever. And I hope at some point it gets through. But, you know, the thing about the disability that's always bothered me, you know, if we as a country are going to send people into harm's way and we're going to put them up on pedestals and call them heroes for defending us and all of this, and we don't take care of them and we fail them again, who's going to be the next generation of people to sign up to be that next generation of hero? I'm looking at this, you know, from a couple of points of view. One, it's the right thing to do. You take care of the people who fought for you and did right by you. But even in the self-interest part, the radical self-interest of we may need you down the road, this seems like a really short-sighted, ridiculously dumb idea.
It is. And you know, at the end of the day, who would want to join the military if now you don't even get a retirement? Now it's a 401k. And once again, you know, we're going to send you to combat zones. We're going to break you. And then we're going to do everything in our power to fight you so that you don't get the benefits that you deserve. That's the message that they're sending. And let me tell you something. People aren't going to be running to the recruiter's office anytime soon with that kind of garbage. You know, these people, they don't get it. They do not get it. This is all about Donald Trump wanting, you know, I think all Donald Trump wants is to have his little parades. Donald Trump wants to feel like he's a dictator. And you know what? I mean, that's the path that we're on. And it absolutely, when we get to that point, it's going to be real hard to turn things around.
And that's troubling. The other thing I wanted to ask you about is, look, I've never been in the military, but I've had a lot of people say that, you know, we put women into combat roles. It's the end of the service. We're lowering standards. And this is something that I believe Hegseth has said as well. And there's a concern by some that ends. Do you see him ending, you know, women in many of the currently filled combat roles? And isn't that going to hurt recruiting and retention and readiness?
Absolutely. And I think that there'll be a lot of pushback at this. And I think Donald Trump will realize that that's probably not the fight he wants to fight. Let me tell you something. Pete Hegseth doesn't have a Ranger tab or a Sapper tab. I know some females that have Ranger tabs and Sapper tabs. So let that sink in, you know, and I'm going to tell you right now, in Iraq, there was a young female from Kentucky that literally cleared an enemy trench line. She received the Silver Star. Let me tell you something, male, female, they know how everybody in those positions trying very hard in those positions. And when the time comes, they know how to do business. That's just the way that it is. We have the most lethal fighting force on the face of the earth. And let me tell you something. You can talk smack all you want about these young generations and all they do is play video games. Let me tell you something. We've got weapon systems that are operated by the same remote controls that these kids use when they play Xbox and PlayStation. And that's why they are some of the most elite fighting force folks on the face of the earth. And that's a fact. Male, female, doesn't matter. And if you're in those positions, you had to work to get in those positions. Make no mistake about it, every single female that is an infantryman, that is a 12 Bravo, every single female in those positions are happy because they made it to those positions and they deserve to be there.
I got to ask you about the use of our army, our military, on domestic soil. They've sent thousands of troops down to the Mexican border. Any thoughts on this? I know we're not supposed to, we're not using against U.S. citizens. So is there any, do you have any problems with that? Let me start there.
I do. Because are we going to allow American soldiers to squeeze triggers on people that are just wanting a better way of life, that are just trying to flee areas where the cartels rule? Are we really going to put troops in a position where they could squeeze triggers on human beings? Because let me tell you something, that stuff weighs on the soldier. Make no mistake about it, a soldier squeezing triggers on somebody that just wants to come across the border because they want to have a better life for their children, that will go with you for the rest of your life. That's a fact. And make no mistake about it, you know what? That's the thing that drives me crazy, is that everybody wants to throw stones at these people. You won the lottery because you were born on this side of the fence. If you wasn't born on this side of the fence, your family would be doing exactly what they're doing, trying to get you over here so you could enjoy some of the freedoms that we have and some of the security that we have. And it's a shame that we have so many people. It's a shame that they put our military in this type of a position. That's not the way it's supposed to be.
No, it's not. And I look at this and, you know, we're hearing all of these stories about ICE raids going into workplaces and into churches and into schools. And, you know, I've had people say, well, we should be using the military to do that as well. Any thoughts on that next level?
No. Why would you want to take United States soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines, and send them into schools to drag children out? You know, that's not what the military is for. You know, we support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And that's exactly what we need to be focused on. This is absolutely unacceptable.
And all of it, you know, and I'm looking at the optics, if something goes wrong or when something goes horribly, tragically wrong, and what that makes us look like around the world. So let me ask you kind of a last line of question in this, because again, our military is, as I understand it, you're the expert here, is about, you know, blowing things up and killing people. They're not meant for border patrol. They're not meant to police. These are people who are meant to blow things up and kill people. That's what we want. That's what we ask of them. Does it harm us? If some of this stuff that I fear happens, you know, as you said, squeezing triggers on children crossing a border, does this hurt our soldiers around the world?
Absolutely. Absolutely it does. I mean, right now, everybody in the world is looking at the United States of America and seeing, you know, how we're going to act. I absolutely hope that those generals and those admirals absolutely hold the line. I hope that they absolutely show courage and stand, you know, once again, an order that is illegal, immoral, or unlawful, you have a duty to refuse it. And, you know, I hope that they stand their ground. I hope that they don't let this daggone National Guard major, and once again, I'm not throwing stones at the National Guard, but this guy right here, he has no business being over top of the Department of Defense. And I hope that they hold their ground and they do not let him get away with it. Because once again, Donald Trump is going to destroy this country. And he's well on his way. And oh, by the way, have you seen the price of eggs? Yeah, all of the promises that he made, that he said what he would do on day one, yeah, they never happened. So hey, let's smoke and mirrors, Gulf of America. Yeah.
But we're going to get Greenland. So.
Yeah.
Greenland. Not buying it?
No.
All right. Rich, I appreciate the time, man. As always, great stuff.
Appreciate you, Rick.
Thanks so much, our good friend, Rich Ojeda. Make sure you check out his Ojeda Live on YouTube and Facebook, 8:30 p.m. each night. We'll get links out on social media. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back. All
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1932. That was the day the first unemployment insurance law was established in the United States. It happened in Wisconsin. Governor Philip La Follette signed the Unemployment Compensation Act. La Follette had a reputation as a progressive leader. Under the new law, employers were required to contribute to a fund based on their payrolls. Many across Wisconsin were out of work due to the Great Depression, but not all workers were covered by the act. Farm workers, domestic workers, railroad workers, teachers, and loggers were among those excluded. Employers with less than 10 workers also did not have to participate. Due to the Great Depression, it took a while to build up enough money in the insurance pool to actually pay out benefits. California, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New York, Utah, and Washington soon followed Wisconsin's lead. Then, in 1935, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt signed the Social Security Act into law. Part of this act was to encourage states to establish unemployment insurance systems for their workers. The first unemployment insurance benefit check went to Niles Rudd of Madison, Wisconsin on August 17, 1936. He was an out-of-work photo engraver. He received the maximum allowable benefit of $15. Today, unemployment insurance programs remain a federal-state partnership administered under state laws. That means each state has a different maximum dollar amount and length of time the benefits can be used. Recently, unemployment insurance protections have been rolled back in some states. Since 2011, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Kansas, Michigan, Missouri, and North and South Carolina have all cut the amount of time that people can receive unemployment benefits. In North Carolina, that length dropped from 26 weeks down to just 14.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
I gotta tell you again, you know, as we were talking about, you know, if this is how we're going to treat people that we put up on a pedestal and called heroes, who's going to be that next generation of heroes? And this hiring freeze that Donald Trump has put into place, it's going to affect those heroes in a huge way, because the VA is already short of staff and personnel. They're already short of people to take care of the folks that we put on a pedestal and called heroes, the people that we sent into harm's way as a nation. We're already, and I think the number that I recently saw was they need some I saw 300,000 as a number that you go, that is an enormous number of people that are needed, and we can hire nobody because Donald Trump has said no more federal employees. And I got to tell you, I think privatization is coming. And when that happens, when we privatize the VA, which is something they're hell-bent on, you wait to see the people that we call heroes, the treatment that they get. I'm telling you, it's crazy where we are. It really is. Also crazy, you know, Donald Trump, we're going to make criming great again. Because you look at this decision of his to pardon all of the January 6th criminals, and he's going to own this. For instance, and again, you can't make this stuff up. A Houston guy, Andrew Quinton Take, he was arrested for pepper spraying and whipping a police officer. He was sentenced to some jail time. He was one of the 1,500 people. He pled guilty to assaulting officers with a dangerous weapon and was sentenced to more than 6 years in federal prison. He's out. And what does the 36-year-old Take do? Well, evidently, you know, he's out there soliciting minors on the internet. Where's the Q people? Where are the Q kooks who are going, look, Donald Trump's responsible? Also, another one of the upstanding citizens, the good God-fearing citizens who just showed up on January 6th because it was a day of peace and love, and they walked between the ropes. Good people, good, honest, Christian, God-fearing folk. This one,
42-year-old Matthew Huddle of Hobart, Indiana. He pled guilty to basically, you know, being in the wrong place. He walked through the thing. He pled guilty to remaining in a restricted area, to entering a restricted area. Got 6 months in prison for it. He, during a traffic stop, was shot and killed by a police officer. Now, they're saying we don't quite know why he was stopped, even though he's got a long... What we learned during the arrest for the January 6th thing is he drank a lot. Let's go there. Drank a lot. In fact, part of the argument was, you know, from the time he was young, he was drinking a lot and had a lot of scrapes with the laws because of drinking. As his attorney at the time wrote, much of Matthew's criminal history and many of his problems in life in general are directly related to his extreme alcohol abuse. He had all kinds of chronic ailments. His health rapidly deteriorating, according to the attorney. He's chronic arthritis, emphysema, late stage cirrhosis of the liver brought on by excessive drinking. 42 years old. Shot and killed by police. And we don't know why. I guess we don't get to know why. Maybe we do. Maybe we'll find out. But according to the attorney, never had a, you know, a violent moment. Going, really? A guy who drinks a lot, never had a violent moment, except that time when he was shot by, I guess, his son's mother's boyfriend. And chaos. And these are the people the good people he put back out on the streets. He pardoned. Now the argument was, is he went from Indiana all the way to Washington, D.C. for January 6th because of his uncle Dale, who evidently used a flagpole to assault law enforcement officers. He pled guilty in December of 23 to a felony assaulting police officers, resisting and impeding officers with dangerous weapons, you know, stabbing them with flagpole, causing serious bodily harm. Flagpole, remember, good God-fearing folks. And why they were able to have the flagpoles, well beyond me, because if you've ever been to D.C. for a rally, they don't let you have poles. You need cardboard tubes. And even then, they could only be a certain thickness, because, you know, if they're thicker, they hurt like a club too. But he got 30 months in prison. Good God-fearing person right there. He got pardoned. He's back on the streets too. So we're going to hear a lot. We're going to hear a lot of these things. Because, sorry, these are not the upstanding citizens Donald Trump is trying to rewrite history to relieve. Now, understand, they're trying to rewrite history. They're scrubbing the Justice Department's website of any of this information. And evidently, Trump has appointed a prosecutor to look into the January 6th cases. Yeah. According to the Wall Street Journal, a top Trump-appointed prosecutor has opened an internal investigation of the Justice Department's decision to charge hundreds of January 6th defendants with felony obstruction offenses in connection with the Capitol attack. You go, isn't this their job? Isn't that the crime? They were obstructing. The idea and the name of I can't hammer on this enough. The name of the rally, the reason they were there was what? Stop the steal. They came full mentally aware that they were going to stop the certification of the election by any means necessary. And if you read the social media posts of a lot of these folks, Parler, you may remember. If you remember their posts, it was all about whatever it took, stacking up bodies, they're going to take my gun, and stopping the certification, even if they had to hang Mike Pence. So when you get these upstanding folks that come in and do all this stuff, get ready for more of these stories. And remember, Trump owns every one of these. Every one of these are on his back. So when someone gets harmed, someone gets killed, we now know who to blame, right? This is what they do with people who are undocumented immigrants.
He was arrested, five times.
I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. You expecting more? You happy with where we are? You think it's going to get worse? Pretty sure. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Miss any portion of the program, make sure you grab the podcast. Wherever you get your favorite podcast, you'll find ours. Check out freespeech.org for our video content. And as always, thanks so much for being here. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick. Rick@thericksmithshow.com. Until next time, this has been The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. A U.S. District Court judge temporarily blocks President Trump's freeze on funding for federal grants and loans. CBS's Allison Keyes.
The nation's capital in an uproar over the plan to temporarily pause federal assistance amid worries that it would hurt people living on the least amount of money. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
This decision is lawless, dangerous, destructive, cruel.
But White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt defended the president's decision.
I think this is a very responsible measure. Past 4 years, we've seen the Biden administration spend money like drunken sailors.
Leavitt said people would still get food stamps and Social Security. Allison Keyes, CBS News, Washington.
A day before Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is to face senators for his confirmation hearings, a relative of the Human Services Secretary nominee sends a warning letter to lawmakers. And Caroline Kennedy, in a post on X, calls RFK Jr. a predator whose actions have cost lives. Yeah.